Transforming Bodies, a judgment-free zone where Trish answers all your burning questions about aesthetics procedures. Find out what and who is the latest and greatest, and gain clarity on what options are out there to leave you feeling good in your body.
Hello listeners, it's Trish Hammond here from the Transforming Bodies podcast, and today I'm catching up with Dr. Ginny Mansberg. Now she's a general practitioner based in Sydney at Sanssouci, and she has so many passions that to do with health. But today we're going to actually talk about women's health in particular. We're going to be talking about menopause, because at the non-surgical symposium, Dr. Ginny Mansberg is actually speaking about menopausal skin and her book called The M Word. So we're going to get a bit of an insight into that. So welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I feel like that introduction went forever, but honestly, if I had to actually introduce you for all the things that you've done, it would be the whole podcast.
I know. I have, like, I think it must be ADD, or maybe I'm just too excited, like I'm an energizer bunny. So yeah. I just get excited by everything and just keep taking on more projects.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell me, first of all, you actually spoke today about menopausal skin. Tell me, what are the skin changes that happen to us women as we get older?
So obviously aging has its entire own trajectory, but to understand what happens as you go through menopause, you need to understand what estrogen does in the skin and then what happens when you lose it, which is, of course, is what menopause is. It's 12 months since your last period. Only the problem is you didn't know it was your last period at the time. So very few women actually know that they've gone through menopause, which is a single day. It's a single day. It's the day 12 months from your last period.
Right.
In the lead up to it, you go through premenopause or perimenopause, or sometimes called menopause transition, and everything after that single day is postmenopause. Mm-hmm. Now, in the lead up to menopause, in that menopause transition, the first thing that you lose is progesterone. So a lot of women think that they're going crazy, they don't sleep, they get a lot of anxiety, and then your estrogen starts to tank as well in the second half of your premenopause, of your perimenopause. And then you're going to have, if you're going to have hot flushes, that's when they're going to happen. Your aches and pains are going to happen. You're going to have terrible brain fog, and you're going to start to see problems with your skin. So the skin problems that we see really fall into two big buckets. The first thing is that you lose a lot of collagen. Now, we know that estrogen helps your skin make collagen, but it also turns off these horrible enzymes that I don't even know what they're doing there, but they actually help you, your body break down collagen. I don't want any of them, but estrogen actually keeps them in check. Lose your estrogen, they're left to run wild. They're breaking down collagen everywhere. What are we talking about? 30% collagen loss in the first 5 years after menopause, and then, lucky you, 2% additional loss of collagen per year after you've gone through menopause. And the results of that, well, we all know, it's fine lines, it's wrinkles, it's thinner skin, it's pores that look much bigger because the skin is less tight around those pores. So all those things happen. The second big bucket is the loss of the skin barrier integrity. So what we're talking about with skin barrier is this tight knitting together of skin cells with a whole lot of glue, and it's things like hyaluronic acids and ceramides, as well as a whole lot of proteins and fats that form, like, looks like a brick wall. And it keeps good stuff in, by that I mean hydration and moisture, mm-hmm. and it keeps bad stuff out. So we're talking about bacteria and toxins. When the skin barrier breaks down, what we start to see is drier skin, itchy skin. Some people feel what we call formication, which is the feeling of bugs crawling over your skin. Love that. And then generally, we're just getting a poorer quality skin. We know that the pH of the skin goes up after menopause, and that the bugs that sit on your skin, normally our best friends, keeping everything in check, they all change. So they're the two big buckets. It's your drier, itchier skin, mm-hmm. as well as your definitely your loss of collagen.
It's so funny. I feel like you've been living with me for the last year and a half or whatever. That's exactly how those. So that even those like prickly skin things where you're itching like a crazy person.
And sensitivity, including yes. to skincare. So you might have used the same sunscreen every day since you were 20, and all of a sudden you can't use it because it's mm-hmm. driving you crazy. Mm-hmm. Your makeup, you might have to change all of your makeup. So all of these things are all to do with menopausal skin. So that's what my passion is actually to fix that.
Amazing. And tell me, so how do you fix it? Like, what can someone kind of do to, apart from see someone like you? Because it's really hard to actually find someone who is a specialist in this that actually doesn't want to prescribe, I don't know, HRT, or which could be the right thing to do anyway. But like, I'm not one to want to have HRT, but I want to find, you know, where do we go as a patient?
Well, that's a big question, Trish, to unpack. In terms of the HRT, let's just park that because we'll take that offline. You and I will have a chat because I think HRT gets a really bad rap, true. And not everyone can have it. Like if you've got breast cancer, we can't give it to you.
Yeah, but that's why I ask. Yes, it's in my family, and I
that's
can't
not
take
a
it.
Risk. Yeah. No, you can. Oh. That's actually not a risk factor, and that is not a contraindication to HRT at all. That's one of the many, many myths that I'm out trying to bust. But in terms of what else can you do, there are a very large number of uber expensive menopause-specific skincare ranges that are out there, and I'm calling BS on them. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is, impaired skin barrier function, we know what to do with that. We've known that for ages. We've got lots of studies about what to do with that. We're talking about ingredients like niacinamide, ceramides, hyaluronic acid, panthenol, which is pro-vitamin B5. We know what to do with an impaired skin barrier. We know that you need to moisturise. We can do that. In terms of loss of collagen, every single person at the non-surgical symposium, that is their bread and butter. They are collagen growers. So, of course, the blockbuster ingredient is vitamin A. A real problem if you're using prescription vitamin A or retinol, which is two steps away from that prescription vitamin A, because it does cause sensitivity in so many people, even without that impaired skin barrier function mm-hmm. that comes with menopause. Mm-hmm. Put menopause into the mix and a lot of people can't use it, but luckily we've got you covered. We've got a form of vitamin A called retinol, 100% of which is converted into retinoic acid, but just in a slow release way, so it doesn't cause any irritation. We've got you covered on that one. We know L-ascorbic acid is a great collagen builder. We know that we can build collagen with alpha hydroxy acids, plus a whole lot of other ingredients and a lot of procedures as well. What you need to take into account with a client in front of you, or if this is you trying to make some decisions for your own skin, what you need to think about is, how impaired is my skin barrier? And how would you know? Because it's itchy. It's itchy and it's inflamed. You want to avoid alpha hydroxy acids like the plague, and you want to avoid even L-ascorbic acid, which is the evidence-based form of vitamin C. Both of those two ingredients, even though they're amazing at building collagen, mm-hmm. can really irritate. That's okay. That's all cool. We've got you covered because we know how to repair your skin barrier. P.S. One of the ways is hormone replacement therapy, but, you know, Trish, we'll take that mm-hmm. offline and talk about it later. Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting what you said, because I've actually just been through exactly the same thing where I'm using retinol. I started off twice a week, then I went to every second day, and then I went to every day because I thought, oh, this is working great. And then all of a sudden I developed this itchy allergy, and I started to flare up and be inflamed. And I rang where I bought it from. They said, oh, just stop taking it for about a month and then start again, like as if you're starting from scratch. So that I've been through exactly what you're talking about, so I could totally relate to it.
The problem with a vitamin A product, and of course with retinol, which is so far removed from retinoic acid, we have really very little evidence that it actually works. Mm-hmm. So you'd want to have either retinol or prescription vitamin A. They're the really only two options that where you've got an evidence-based vitamin A. Mm-hmm. The problem with either mixing it in your moisturiser or what we call like retinol sandwiching, so you actually put some vitamin A under a moisturiser and then sort of mix it all up, you now have a very dilute form for which we have no evidence. Yeah. Same thing with using it every second day or every third day. We just don't have evidence that that works. And I'm all about the evidence, right? I want you using something every single day, which is why I love retinol. Mm-hmm. Because with retinol, you can use it every single day. You don't need to dilute it. You don't need to mix it in with your moisturiser. Just use it as is. And we can use that even if you've got rosacea, even if you've got the most sensitive skin, you're totally fine. And we can build your collagen, restore your skin barrier all in one fell swoop. Gotta love that.
Yeah. Fantastic. And tell me, so as like how will someone, because some people say they don't go through menopause.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, I know, I was going to ask the same thing. Some people say, oh no, I just breeze through it and nothing happens. So we are all different, hey?
Well, look, the reality is, if you're a woman and you live long enough, you're going to go through menopause, because menopause is when your ovaries run out of pluck and they just stop producing eggs, right? Yeah. So that happens to 100% of women, unless tragically you pass away before your ovaries were ready to, you know, shuffle off this mortal coil.
Yeah.
But not everybody has such a horrible, you know, constellation of symptoms. The thing, Trish, where I think we've come from is we used to think that menopause was hot flushes. Mm-hmm. And we used to think that if you didn't have hot flushes, you didn't have a menopause. Well, that's just one symptom. Mm. 75% of women get hot flushes. One third of them describe them as unbearable, but a lot of women get a couple of hot nights and then it's not that bad. Why would you go and take a medication for that? Yeah. But now we know that there are so many other things. For example, 80% of women experience brain fog, insomnia, It is the peak time in a woman's life when she gets anxiety or depression, 1 in 3 women. And we have really rightly focused on that postnatal period, as we should, as a really important time for governments to intervene and really give a lot of support to women. But the reality is the postnatal period is nowhere near the risk for women as that 45 to 55 age group is, which is the highest risk of suicide of any time in a woman's life. So we need to be thinking about the mental health effects. And nobody talks about the intimate areas. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to name her, the vagina.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dry vaginas are really, really, really awful. And while there's this stereotype when you're 20 that, like, surely you have stopped that whole sex business when you hit 50, you know. When you're 50, you really don't want to give it up.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. And unlike hot flushes, which last on average 7 years, unless you start getting them during your menopause transition, 11 years. But you can wait them out.
Mm-hmm.
If you really don't want to take something, you can wait them out.
Yeah.
With vaginal symptoms, year on year, they get worse and worse and worse. And not only that, if we do start to fix it, the ceiling that we can get you to is lower and lower and lower.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I'll always be able to improve things for you, but not that much. And so I would urge the sisterhood to stop pretending the vagina doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women want a very healthy vagina going into their 70s. We can, in the same way as protecting your vagina, we're also going to protect you from recurrent urinary tract infections.
Yeah.
They are awful as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
And they can put you into hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want to be talking about this more, just so that women have more options and can make informed choices.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited because I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going crazy. I can't wait till my husband listens to this as
well.
Because I think the guys, I feel like I'm going crazy and he's going through this journey with me as well. And now I know why.
And you know what is really interesting is perimenopausal, like that anxiety, it's got different flavours to it. Number one, there's the rage. Everybody pisses you off.
Yeah.
So your kids piss you off. You're convinced that they hate you. You're convinced your partner hates you. You're convinced your work colleagues hate you. And in fact, 1 in 10 women will actually leave the workplace altogether. They quit their jobs.
Wow.
And that's because they have this massive confidence cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So many women just feel, who would want to employ me? Who would want to date me? Who would want to be friends with me? Friendships break up. Families employed at this time because we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And yet, a lot of people will go to their doctor and get put on an antidepressant, and antidepressants don't really work at this time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best treatment for perimenopausal depression.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we know that hormone replacement therapy is far more successful, but we need to tailor it for you and your particular need. But we can get rid of that rage.
Yeah.
We have so much that we can offer to women if they know to step up and ask. And I think a lot of these women will turn up at their esthetician, thinking that the answer to their relationship problems is to have a boob job or to have a labiaplasty or to have a little bit of filler, you know, in the most mild cases.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to say, hey, what's going on for you?
Mm-hmm.
I know this is really common in peri. Is that what's happening with you? Opening up that door for that conversation, you won't believe what happens. The trust, the love, that opening up. The way that you genuinely help women in a way that you can't if all you ever do is, you want that injection? Sure, I'll do that. See you later.
Yeah. And you know what you mentioned about everyone going on antidepressants, it's true because I could see a lot of my girlfriends and be like, oh yeah, I've had to start taking antidepressants. So it's probably actually the wrong solution for them, or, I mean, who knows?
Look, we know that it's often the wrong solution, and if anybody has not listened to Professor Jayashree Kulkarni from the HER Centre at Monash University, she has led the charge with a lot of this research around the world, but in the United Kingdom, the official guideline is to start with HRT, not to start with antidepressants.
Wow.
They have side effects, including loss of libido, which amongst my patients is like 100% anyway.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's weight gain. Well, we know that in my experience as a clinician, I speak to women and they'll go, yeah, oh, yeah, sure, I've got the hot flushes, yeah, my vagina, whatever, but I have put on so much weight. And that's what they want to talk to me about. And that further exacerbates that confidence cliff and the impairment of your sexuality because you don't want to take your clothes off in front of anybody.
Yeah.
Why would we give anybody a medication that is second, third or fourth best when it's got those kinds of side effects?
Yeah.
We want to get you the right medications that will actually work for you. I'm not saying that they're never required,
yeah,
but it wouldn't be the first thing that we go to.
Yeah. Amazing. I can't wait to actually read your book. Tell us a little bit about your book. Where was the, I guess the inspiration was probably the people coming to see you?
Yeah. So
Women, sorry.
Well, or people with a uterus, as we now say, because we're being more inclusive.
Yeah.
I would say that, look, I'm not going to lie. A publisher came to me saying, we need someone to write a book about menopause. And I was like, sorry, what? Who do you think I am? And then I was like, oh, yeah, actually, I'm 50. Okay, fair enough. Average age of menopause in Australia is 51.
Is it?
Yeah.
51?
Yeah, I'm 55 and I'm not there yet. Yeah. So I'm just in that other sort of area. But 1 in 10 Australians are either Asian Australians or other people of colour. They go into menopause earlier. And so I suspect that next time we do a study on this, we're going to find out that the average age of menopause in Australia is actually much younger.
Yeah.
But for people like me who go in a little bit later, I was blindsided by the question.
Mm-hmm.
But it started my passion journey.
Mm-hmm.
Actually writing that book was actually the thing that made me go, oh my goodness, there is so much to this.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I'm a podcaster myself as well, and I have an educational podcast for doctors. And I, every time we would do a podcast on menopause, I'd be sitting there thinking, I don't know anything about this. This is really embarrassing. And you tend to, as a doctor, have a cohort of patients that kind of reflect you. So most of my patients are women between the ages of 40 and 60. It's just the way it works.
Yeah.
I need to know about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get educated, I had to go and join the Australasian Menopause Society, join the International Menopause Society, attend every single webinar, because the amount of training that I got as a medical student, zero, as a training GP, like close to nothing, I've had to teach myself by networking with the best, and they are. I would say that if you are trying to look for a doctor who's right for you, I would find a doctor who is a member of the Australasian Menopause Society, mainly because they tend to do evidence-based treatments, and there's a lot of non-evidence-based treatments like bioidentical hormones out there, and I'd be very concerned about that. But at the same time, go and get your options, find out what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did notice, because I was invited to speak at the inaugural Menopause in Aesthetics conference in London. There is such a thing.
Wow.
And I'm going back in November. So I went in February. I was the only Australian who was invited to go to this conference. And what I have noticed is in the UK, the menopause field and the aesthetic field are merging into a single field.
Wow.
So that for aestheticians who are out there, you need to know about menopause. And for menopause doctors, we need to pay respect to women who care about their looks and men who care about their looks, because it's really old school to say that is beneath me.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be where our patients are at and educate ourselves so that we can help them make good decisions for themselves. We are the co-pilots, and we need to enable our patients to be the pilots and make really good decisions for themselves. That's our role.
Fantastic. So, sorry. So where do I start? How can I buy your book?
So it's called The M Word, How to Thrive in Menopause.
Mm-hmm.
It's been out since, I think, 2019.
Oh.
So it's not an, but it's just does really well. It's really hit the mark. A lot of doctors sell it, particularly women's health hubs tend to sell it a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of gynecologists sell it. So you can either get it probably through your doctor if you go to a women's health specialist, or you can order it online, or it's still in every bookshop. I know that because I get the royalty checks. I know it's still selling a lot.
Oh, that's great. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been so insightful, especially for me.
Yay.
I'm doing this now at my age and not, 30 years ago. Although I might have been better prepared.
Yeah, I know, right?
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, look, if you do want to find out more, just check her out, Dr. Ginny Mansberg. That's G-I-N-N-I and then Mans as in blokes, B-E-R-G as in, B-E-R-G. And she's just done so much. Like, she's a co-founder and presenter of Don't Sweat It, author of M Word. There's other books that she's written as well. She's a co-founder of ESK Evidence Skincare and so much more. So I am so proud to be interviewing you today, I've got to say.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And if you want to find out more, just DM me and I'll send you through her details. Thanks a lot.
Got a burning question for Trish? Message her on Instagram at Transforming Bodies, or join the 12,000 plus people in the Facebook group Plastic Surgery Support Forum for Aussie Chicks.